You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
February 15th, I am Steve Dotto, and you are tuned in to Dotto Tech. We are glad you are joining us this fine evening. How are you doing, Art?
Great. Great Valentine's Day. You? Did you have a good one?
I had a great Valentine's Day. Did you? Were you like an attentive partner?
Of course I was.
Were you really?
I'm an attentive partner to you, aren't I?
Yeah,
imagine if you were a good-looking woman.
You did. You brought in some Kinder eggs that are pretty good. I enjoyed that.
I'm the chocolate man. That's what they call me around.
You're the chocolate man. We've got a great show lined up, Art. I'm telling you right now, I'm anticipating that this could be a watershed show on Dotto Tech.
You said that last week.
And how good was it?
It was great.
See?
Last week we didn't have twins. We have twins this week.
We got twins on, but unfortunately, yeah, well, they're
not the kind that we were hoping for.
Yeah, no, we got twins Doug and Carrie Beecher coming in. They're higher the world. They've built an outsourcing site, and I think they're onto something. It's going to be pretty good. And we have Paul Damara coming on. Paul's going to be explaining a brand new product from Rogers called Rogers One Number.
I've seen commercials for it.
I've read about it. And if what I've read is true, if Paul verifies it, I think it's going to be a very, very hot addition to the Rogers lineup. I think it could be a little bit of a game changer in the whole mobile space.
Are you trying to say that if you're a Rogers wireless customer, do not miss Paul's segment?
You don't want to stick around. You might just want to pull
over. Or if you're unhappy with
If you're driving home now and you're close to home, just pull over on the side of the road and stay there till Paul's done.
Or you could just take the long way around, the scenic route as they call it.
Pull over and sit and just wait. If not, you can come to the website and you can listen to the show a little bit later. It'll be there. But it's going to be good news. I think it's going to be good news. It is curious how sometimes these things work out. I've got this real fascination for the whole world of outsourcing, hiring people around the world to do different types of tasks for us. And I've written quite a bit about it. We've interviewed some great local Vancouver companies that do outsourcing. And out of the blue, another email comes into my inbox, which is from another Vancouver-based outsourcing company. I checked these guys out, and it's two brothers and their partner from, I guess they started kind of out of the Skunk Works up at SFU. They have a site called Hire the World, which is a crowdsourcing and outsourcing site. And so we've invited Doug and Terry Beach to come in. Twin brothers, thanks for coming in, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Partner, Arash Afruz. Arash Afruz.
Arash Afruz, you got it. Yeah,
he's actually getting his nose fixed today, so he couldn't come in.
He's going to appreciate that everybody knows why he's not here. But yeah, it was unfortunate. He was really looking forward to coming. And
well, sinuses are not fun. That can't be fun. But thanks for coming in, guys, and congratulations on the site. Now, first of all, tell us about your site, hiretheworld.com. It is basically an outsourcing site that you can go to for pretty much the whole spectrum of outsourcing work?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we started in graphic design, so that was where our specialty kind of started. We started with these logo design contests where you could come in, put up a couple $100, tell us what you want. We send that out to thousands of designers around the world, literally in 123 countries. Logos start coming in overnight, like literally within hours. You get to say what you like, what you don't like, and the crowd watches that. And we'll adjust their entries based on your preferences. At the end of the contest, you pick the one that you like, and you only pay for the one that you want. And that was kind of how we started.
Yeah, and so more than outsourcing, that's really what they're calling crowdsourcing, isn't it? And it's been very popular in the graphics world. There are several other sites that have done this, and it creates an event out of the design of your logo or your business card or your graphics package because you have this contest happening. Have I kind of caught the flavor there?
Yeah, that's right. So you get to kind of promote your business at the same time that you get your logo, and you're also getting, you know, you go to a traditional graphic designer, you're going to get, you know, a couple different versions of, you know, some things they might kick around, but here you're going to get hundreds of ideas, and they're going to come from all over the world. So you get the top kind of trends in graphic design happening in Asia and Canada and everywhere, which is really beneficial.
So there's two huge benefits for any companies that engage in doing this crowdsourcing. The first is time, because you turn around a project, you can do it in 24 hours. pretty much, or I guess 48 hours from start to finish. It would be about the fastest you could actually turn around a design.
Yeah, we've done contests in as fast as 24 hours, but generally you're looking between 3 to 5 days.
Which is still pretty blazingly fast for getting a graphics design done. And secondly is cost. What sort of cost savings are people looking at?
Yeah, well, we've had, I mean, you look at a logo and somebody can come in and get a logo done starting at $265. And then other people are getting websites done starting at, you know, less than $1,000. So if you look at Swarm Jam, you see them every day in the newspaper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They had their entire website done on our site and their initial design was $1,500 and they had 47 designs or something like that from... Wow. You know, that they got to choose from before they actually picked their final website.
So Swarm Jam, as they were in launch mode, they used your guys' services to do all the design, and it's rocking along.
Yeah, you can actually come to Hire the World, and we have a design gallery for them, and you can see all the designs they had to choose from. And if you look at the winning one, and you look at their website, yeah, it's a full implementation. They're still using it today, and I mean they sold that business. They've been very successful.
That's Terry Beach, the voice that you're hearing right now, who's the CEO of Hire the World, and you do all the talking. Your brother doesn't get to talk.
No, I always get accused of that because I always get started, which I don't think Doug minds, but he has a lot to say too. So he's going to sound the same, so it might confuse people because we're twins. But there is two people in the studio. I promise.
Well, I can tell you apart because of the scar under your eye, because that's new, courtesy of your brother in a hockey game, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's it's funny when you talk about we sound the same. When we listen to ourselves on an answering machine, we have to actually listen to the words because we can't figure it out. But yeah, we were playing some hockey and. That's the thing with a startup. We're working really hard at making Hire the World, you know, as effective as possible for mm-hmm. you know small businesses to effectively start up. And so I always bugged the staff when we came in after Sunday. They're like, "What happened to your face?" And I was like, "Oh, well, you know, that's what happens when we don't have enough sales." It was a little joke in the office.
So tell me about the genesis of the company. What made you guys decide to enter what is an increasingly competitive world of outsourcing?
Yeah, so I can answer that. We started in 2009, you said, with the crowdsourcing, and mm-hmm. it had a very obvious value proposition for us. We could see ourselves using it, and we were excited to, you know, to go about getting a logo in that way. Right? You know, you get to see all the different designs, and they all come in, and it's really fancy. And we're doing the same thing with actually viral videos at the moment, too, which is it's a whole other conversation. But, like, that it's just a really, really exciting event that you get to promote yourself and share it with your friends and, you know, really, really get to see a lot of different ideas from a ton of different, you know, creative people all over the world.
I want to circle back to that before we finish. I want you to explain to me the viral video thing a bit, but finish off the story of how you started.
Sure. And so it took us, we found Terry Arash and myself, we all got together and we actually started working virtually. My brother was at Oxford University doing his MBA. I was working in Victoria and Arash was working for the government. And we knew each other through my brother and I, of course. And then we know Arash through a mutual friend of ours. And we started getting into this conversation. And really, we didn't know it at the time. But I think if we think back, we really started to understand on how the world is changing, that we don't absolutely have to be in an office to work in a very effective way with each other. And so as we started to build this design crowdsourcing site, we were actually becoming quite good at understanding, you know, the efficiencies that you can get from going online. We didn't have to commute to the office each day. We just got up and started working on our computer. There's so many different online tools now that really we were getting probably more work at that time in that part of our startup than we were if we, you know, had to find a central location to meet.
You didn't have all the commuting time and all those sorts of things. So very early on in your guys' career, you guys entered a bunch of competitions for entrepreneurial competitions, and you did pretty well in all of them, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, it was quite a big step for us because branching off Doug's story, you know, we generated our first dollar of revenue before Arash and I even met. Right? Everybody was sort of doing this virtual thing. And then when we actually finally came together and we said, okay, we're going to make a business out of this thing, we signed up for the New Ventures BC competition. We tried out for Dragon's Den. And then, of course, we started meeting with angel investors and venture capitalists all over the place. And we were fortunate. You know, we took on 160 teams at the New Ventures BC competition. We took first place. It was a $123,000 prize, which was great.
I'd say that's great.
Yeah, we went into the...
It's better than being on Dragon's Den, being slagged and then not getting any money.
Well,
although the publicity, you can't beat the publicity. Actually, next week we have Chill Tabs. They were on Dragon's Den. We've got the guys from Chill Tabs coming on.
So we went on as well, and we're still not allowed to talk about what happened.
Okay.
So we're on this huge non-disclosure thing.
So we can bring you back. We can have like a Dragon's Den reunion
show. It's never going to air.
Oh, you are?
I can't say really what happened, but basically we signed a different deal. So I'm not allowed to talk about it. We got like a 3-year exclusivity.
There's a lot of paper.
Yeah. Those guys, they're tight. But they got a great show. I think that's the best product on CBC.
It was a good experience anyway. But yeah, we ended up going to this other, the Oxford University actually has a venture fund that is run by the students, but the benefactors, the people that put the money in, are David Bonderman from Texas Pacific Group in the States, you know, $91 billion private equity fund, a huge guy, and Sir Philip Green, who owns like 15% of UK retail. And so we applied and then got into the semifinals and then flew out to England and then pitched in the semifinals and got into the finals. And then the finals is in the Nelson Mandela Theater at Oxford University in front of the entire MBA class with a panel with these guys on there and grilling you, trying to entertain the crowd and make this, like, this is Dragon's Den times 10. And
so they're trying to be entertaining. So they're throwing you under the bus as much as they can. They want you to become speed bumps.
Yeah, basically, you're just sitting there trying not to die. And we're quite fortunate in that Oxford University, every year the fund's been here, it's made at least two investments. This year, that year, it decided to only make one, and that investment was in Hire the World. So we, you know, we nailed that. We nailed the New Ventures BC. We ended up closing around on Christmas Eve, December 24th. And we were able to take that initial seed investment to kind of build up our team and then start going after the outsourcing, which is something that we probably should still talk about.
Which is what we're going to do. What we are going to do is we're going to take a break and then we're going to come back. And now that we've kind of got the backstory, we're going to talk about the product itself, outsourcing. I'm Steve Dotto, and you're tuned in to Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Do you have a comment or question for Dotto Tech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dotto Tech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
I'm feeling distinctly old here in studio. I have twin brothers, Doug and Terry Beach, who are the founders, along with Arash Afrooz, of HireTheWorld.com. Started out as a crowdsourcing site where one might go to have a website or a logo designed. But since then, you folks have entered the kind of the deeper end of the pool and gone into the full-on outsourcing, where I can now hire people to do almost any knowledge task. Am I correct?
That's right. So, I mean, it was a pretty easy. It was actually a transition that our users really demanded, because somebody would go and do a design contest to get a logo or a website, and they'd be like, you know, that designer gets me. I want to hire them to do all of my graphic design work. Why do I need to have a graphic designer sitting in my office when that guy is the right guy, and I don't care that he's in Hong Kong. He's talented, and I want him. And so we thought about, you know, well, if we build in the functionality for that person to be able to hire that graphic designer on a one-to-one contract, well, that works for any, like you said, online knowledge-based business, whether it's computer programming or bookkeeping or data entry, et cetera. And so we decided to build the model to scale so that we could actually facilitate all kinds of online work.
Now, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you and compare you to the 800-pound gorilla in this particular marketplace, which I guess Odesk and Elance are the two companies that do the most of this outsourcing. So for listeners who aren't aware what we're referring to, this is basically where we go online, you go to a service like HireTheWorld.com, you enter a project, you basically sign up as a user, and you describe something that you need to have done, a project of some sort. And then people bid on that project, or you hire people based on what you need. And that can range anywhere from finding people at fantastic cost savings, finding people at $5 an hour to do your Joe jobs, all the way through to finding somebody that's incredibly specialized to do that thing that you just can't find somebody in your local market to do. Have I described that right?
Well, that's right.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Okay. So, job. How does it work on your site? First of all, what are my responsibilities as far as signing up for an account? How do I find workers? How do they sign up? And then how do we do the transaction?
Sure. So it's really simple. I see that you have our website open on there on the homepage.
Yes, I am. I'm on my iPad. It's iPad friendly, folks.
Absolutely, of course. So you being a first user, you don't have a verified payment method on our account. So it's as simple as right at the top there, it says that you post a project.
Okay.
And so you can decide what you want, post the project, be it depending if you need design work or programming or anything that's knowledge-based. You would write in there very, very briefly exactly what it is that you're trying to get done. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily, that's the really cool part about our site. You don't necessarily need to know the technical skills of what you want to get accomplished. Like there's a lot of people, for example, that want to get a WordPress site website design, but they don't understand that the PHP and the different programming languages that are kind of like codes to us, right?
Yeah.
That's what's so great about our website is you just kind of say what you want as the end result, right? And then you're going to have people from all over the world saying, hey, I'm great at that and you probably should do it this way. And you actually get a lot of like information just from saying what you want.
Is there a danger of being overwhelmed by that information coming in?
I don't think so. I think that the way that we've set up the process, it's very, very simple. You basically get a one-liner that you can choose to see a summary of the people that you're going to communicate with.
Okay.
And you can pretty much go as high level or as in-depth as you choose to. So we really wanted it to build it that way because depending on the project, sometimes you really, really want something that's really simple. For example, a graphic design where you just need a color changed, right? You shouldn't have to spend more than 1 minute on our website to punch in what you need and get that done.
Now, do people come in knowing what their budget is in advance, or might it be something like, look, I got this mailing list that I need cleaned up. How much can I get that cleaned up for? Do I have that capability of saying, here's a project, and I don't know what it's going to cost, but give me an idea?
Yeah, that's a great question, Steve. And we have a lot of users coming in, especially since we have a worldwide workforce, right? The labor rates are completely different depending on where you're at, and then the type of work on top of that. So people come in, and they're like, well, I know what I want, but what do I put out as the budget? Fortunately, we have some really good tools that you can put up a budget of what you think might be the rates, or you could do you don't even have to do a Google search, because if you put something up that's not appropriate, we have a collaboration board where our people that are freelancers from all over the world will come in and say, hey, do you know what? That's not actually the rate because it's going to take this work and that work. And it's a public open forum so that the employer that's trying to get the work can be like, oh, that makes sense. Okay, well, I can change my job posting and make it so that it works so I get more applicants. Because if you put something up there that's not reasonable, nobody in the world's going to do it.
Yeah, exactly. So I've decided that I want to have a WordPress site designed for some projects for my local Cub Scout troop.
Yep.
And I've got a budget of $200. How do we then proceed? And I've got a couple of bids come in. I've decided I need a Boy Scout troop website designed. I want it done in WordPress. And then I've looked at five designs coming in. How do I make that decision, and how do I complete the transaction?
Perfect. So we're working on quite a bit of tools. Like right now, currently, you can talk to the people by message.
Okay.
But we also allow you to access them via Skype and other tools. The main value that we really bring too is that the collaboration tools makes it so it's all in one place.
Okay.
So anytime that you have records, is that you want to get it to. Let me start from the beginning. Is the big problem when you're dealing with somebody new around the world is right? Okay, are you going to start working first, or am I going to pay you the money first?
Yes.
Right. So we help solve that by providing an escrow service. Right. So as you communicate back and forth, and you find somebody that you absolutely like, and you say you're going to spend $200, well, you don't actually go and you pay that $200. You only pay once you get the results that you want.
So I give the money to hire the world. That starts our project actually being built. That starts it.
Absolutely.
And that's how you maintain control. Otherwise, if you just introduce me to some worker over in the Philippines, what's to prevent me from just going offline and say, hey, let's save the 15% or 10% or whatever margin higher the world's going to take? Because a lot of people are looking to just get cheap work done, so you don't want to be cut out of the process.
Yeah, well, and I think there's another piece of value that we bring as well, in that we have this program coming in so that if you hire somebody hourly, you can actually, that person can, from their local computer, start work and end work, and we actually capture data as it's happening in real time. So let's say that you have somebody working in Asia, and they're always sleeping when you're awake, and you're always awake when they're sleeping.
Sure.
Well, how do you know what the status of your project is? Because it's hard to find that person, get them on a Skype conversation, get them online.
Yeah.
And this will actually give you, hourly updates, and you can work however you want. You can get text updates.
So it's
updates,
a presence type timer saying this is what work has been done. This is the progress.
That's right. And it gives you the comfort of knowing that instead of just saying, hey, this is a $200 job, you could say, I don't know how big of a job it is, but you're a $20 an hour guy, so I'll pay you $20 an hour. And by using this service, I guarantee you that for every hour you work, you're going to get paid $20. And then you're also giving me some assurance that for every hour that you're working, you're actually working. It's as good as having somebody in your office without actually having to have an office.
We've looked at this really from the side of the person who's having the work done, the contractor. What about the contractees? What about the talent that you guys are finding? Is how do you find those people? How do they sign up, first of all? And then secondly, is it something that people in our listening audience are going to be interested in? Because there is the perception that this sort of work is all about value, getting as much work done for as little money as possible. So are North Americans going to say, hey, I want to be able to sign up and put my name into that talent pool to get some extra work?
Yeah, that's a great question, and right off the we get asked all the time. But the reality of it is 50% of our workforce is based in North America. Then the other 50 being the United States of America and Canada.
Yeah.
And then the other 50% are all over the world. So I think that there is a big interest in being able to, you know, work from home, or, you know, we have mompreneurs on the site from all over the world, and especially in North America, mm-hmm. People that work during the day, then moonlight at night in their hobbies where they're really, really interested. But yeah, saying that, it's not always about the money. It's a real balance. What Hire the World allows you to do is that you get to choose the experience crossed with the talent crossed with your budget. So if you have a lot of time, maybe that you'd want to be able to take somebody else that wasn't as experienced and would, you know, kind of slowly drag you through a project. But for most people, time is really of the essence. And that's where we concentrate a lot on at Hire the World, is just making sure things get done quickly, you get access to the right person. It's just, for some people, the right person's different.
And in the online world, getting things done quickly certainly is of prime. There's tremendous value in that in an awful lot of instances. And this is probably going to be the path of least resistance as far as that's concerned. What about managing the project? The one area that I always think that the skills that we probably aren't developing in our society right now that are going to be absolutely essential in this multinational world that we live in are the communications and project management skills to be able to handle a disparate workforce like we're going to be using if we're hiring contractors.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. If you're going to have your graphic designer, your copywriter, the guy that's doing your blog, the guy that's photoshopping your photos up for your photo company or your photography company.
Each one on a different continent.
Yeah, all of them on a different continent, and some of them perhaps working together as well, because you might have the designer speaking directly to the programmer, and then, you know, your website's happening, and you're not actually, and, you know, talking to the copywriter, so you got all three people in a room. You need to make sure that these people are able to collaborate and they're able to share information. And so the same way that hourly tool that I was telling you about sort of brings asynchronous information into your workspace online as if they're in your own office, it allows those three individuals who might be on separate continents to work the exact same way. So we can see that the progress bar on the designer is filling up and that their end date is, you know, they're going to be done their project in the next 3 days. And so the programmer can go, that means that I need to book time, you know, 3 days from now so that I can get my end of the project done. And then the client, the employer, the whole time is, you know, can be whether they're Gantt charting it out or whether they're just following the progress bars and seeing it happen, right? It's really easy to pick out if there's going to be sort of time issues or bumps that are going to happen. Things that you would normally assemble everybody in the office and have a board meeting for, you can actually do in real time online, and it just happens automatically.
It's built into the system.
There you go. HireTheWorld.com is the site. And I promised that I was going to circle back before we left, because I think I know I could talk about this for hours, but I think we'll call it a day right now on this topic. But tell me about the viral video project that you guys have going. What's happening with that?
So this is kind of a side project that turned into a full-fledged thing. It's really collecting a lot of interest. We've done is we've taken the design contest idea and applied it to video contests, but specifically to viral video contests. So we've built an algorithm that can actually measure the virality or how viral a video goes. So people can post a contest on our site and then have videographers instead of designers from all over the world submit entries. And then that prize money isn't just distributed on, well, I like this video the best. It's actually distributed on how much reach that video has. So we measure in real time, you know, how many times this is shown on Facebook, how many times on YouTube, and we can go really deep. So if you share it with a friend who shares it with a friend who shares it with a friend, we're measuring all of that.
So let's do an example, a Dottotech viral video. So I want to promote Dottotech through your guys' stuff. So we've got a little bit of source video. We've got lots of pictures of my face, that sort of stuff. So what I would do is I would say I've got $500 as a prize. Is that
yeah,
a good prize?
We're probably it's a little more expensive. We're looking at something more like $5,000 or higher. Yeah.
Man. Okay. Let's say for argument's sake that I have $5,000 for a prize.
Videos take a lot longer than
You're
logos.
Killing me, boys. You're killing me. Let's say I have $5,000 for a prize that I'm going to put forward. I'm shuddering now. But okay. and so I say, and I put it out there saying, make Dottotech popular. And so people are then going to build funny videos with, they're going to take all the, I'd make all of the content that's available, say, on my website, you can take and use any of this. I allow them to use that content.
Yeah, and just like you would fill a design brief for a logo saying, like, I like a masculine logo or a feminine logo, you fill a design brief, a videographer brief, just like you would with a creative studio.
Yeah.
Saying, you know, whether...
Make me sound intelligent, but make me sound funny. Make it sound like a funky place that everybody wants to be.
Exactly. How edgy you want it to be, how long you want it to be, whether you want it to be animated or you want it to be live action, you can control all that stuff.
Okay. And then I will have how many videos in the end of the day will be. And people will then create these videos, and they will push them out into the social network. They'll post them on YouTube or Vimeo. They will create links. They will tell their people to come see them. And then based on ranking, we give money to the top prizes.
Yeah, so we distribute.
So there could be dozens of videos out there.
Oh, yeah, it could be hundreds. Yeah.
Depending on the prize money, thousands.
We had our first kind of practice at, run at this was a $50,000 contest, and within the first
50,000, yeah. I can't do that. Yeah. I'm just telling you right now, that's off the board.
But if you think about like a TV commercial,
yeah.
Right, and what kind of coverage you're going to get, the value proposition for major brands like Coca-Cola and larger companies, this is just, it's just so much more valuable. It's just a really quick way to get a really good burst of brand potential into the internet in a really effective way. So the eyeballs per dollar is at $50,000 is amazing. But that $50,000 contest, like within the first 12 hours, there was 3 videos, right? Like right away, and already pushing live out to the internet. So
and talking about in a social media world, you've got everybody else sending out your message. Who could ask for more?
It's pretty good. And you control the branding. So there is actually an approval process. So the video gets uploaded, and you get to make sure before that thing gets launched out into the interweb for everybody to see that it meets your brand standard. So it's not as risky as you might think.
And every one of the people that enter those videos, right, they're their own promoter for you, right?
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. Yeah. It almost seems wrong.
That's when you know you have a good idea.
it is a good idea. My guests are Doug and Terry Beach. Their website is hiretheworld.com, and this is the first. You guys are going to have to come back and fill me in how things are going, okay?
All right.
And I'm going to think about that viral video. I'm going to start raising money. Maybe we can get our listeners to each donate money so that Steve can have his
video.
Do a
Kickstarter, crowdfunding.
We're not allowed to do Kickstarter in Canada, but we can do something. Crowdfunding is another option. Thanks for coming in, guys. We're going to take a quick break. I'm Steve Dotto, and you are tuned in to Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Mac Tech, brought to you by MacStation, your Apple solutions experts.
It is indeed time for Mac Tech. Rick Yeager is my Mac Tech dude. How are we doing, Rick?
We're doing good. How are you, Steve?
I'm doing great. Now, I gave you an assignment this week because I am increasingly just using my iPad as a notebook replacement. I'm not sure I'm ever going to buy another. Well, I am going to buy another notebook, but
me too.
But so often now, I've gone on some road trips where I'm just taking my iPad.
Yeah, me too.
And it's a notebook replacement. It's what goes into meetings with me. So what things should the average person think about if they're going to use their iPad as a notebook replacement?
Are you a typist?
I don't mind the on-screen keyboard, but I have used some of the Bluetooth attachment keyboards, and I like them.
Yeah, I just got one. My should I say how old my mom is?
You can say how old.
70-ish-year-old mother. I got her an iPad for her birthday last year.
Mm-hmm.
And for Christmas, I gave her one of these Bluetooth keyboards that locks into the iPad as a case.
Yes.
So these keyboard case dealies.
I've got a Logitech one that does that. It's a butterfly keyboard that rolls out. Really nice.
Very nice. She got the Zag one.
Yes, Zag.
It kind of locks it in, and it basically protects the keyboard protects the screen with the keyboard.
With the back of the keyboard, yeah.
Right. And those are great. They're about $100. There's the one that I like the look of the most isn't available in Canada. The Casemate. And it makes your iPad look exactly like a laptop.
Oh, okay.
It has a hinge in it. It's
now, how does your mom like using the keyboard?
Well, that was a bad gift.
Okay. So it's one that you've reacquired for your own personal
use? Well, not yet. But she never used a computer before the iPad, and that's why I'm so excited about the iPad in general, is that I think this is the computer. They always said the Mac was the computer for the rest of us, but I think the iPad is really the computer for all of us because it's so simplified.
Mm.
It just works.
Yeah. Well, I think increasingly over the next few years, we're going to see the reason that it's going to be it's going to continue to change the world. It and other tablets is education, because ultimately this has to be the tool that, that just resonates right through education. And as we move towards the dream of having every kid with one of these in their backpack instead of a whole bunch of textbooks, that just changes everything.
Or a whole bunch of laptops.
Yes.
So
yeah.
My next
tool. So first one is getting a good Bluetooth keyboard, and it does make a difference if you're a typist.
If you're a typist,
And I, because I've always looked down at my keyboard as I type, because I never learned to touch type properly, I'm actually pretty good in the on-screen keyboard, so I can actually enter data pretty well.
I've only got two fingers that know how to type. So.
Yeah, so there we go. And I'm pretty fast with it. I use four or five, but I'm pretty fast.
Okay, my next recommendation are the iApps, the Pages, Keynote, Numbers. You're going to spend about $30 all told for it, but if you don't need all of them, don't buy all of them.
Yes.
So if you're not going to make any, you know, pseudo PowerPoint presentations on your iPad, just stick with Pages, which is Apple's word processor. Numbers is its spreadsheet, and Keynote is its PowerPoint slide presentation. You could use Google Docs, which are free, but I find it kind of clunky on the iOS apps.
The problem with the Google Docs and when you're running them on the mobile device is Google's servers look to you, first of all, as a mobile platform, and so they look at they send you the mobile version. Mm-hmm. And going into editing, you have to kind of convert over to desktop version before you can actually get in and edit very comfortably. Because one thing that the iPad is not good at doing is doing things like selecting text if that text isn't readily available to it.
Right.
It's cumbersome to explain, but the bottom line is you're far better off using the Notepad feature, the notes in it, or using something like
for sure.
Pages. Yeah.
And there's also Documents to Go Premium, which is a $17 app that allows you to open up doc files and like legitimate Microsoft
Excel files. Yeah.
Microsoft.
So if you
Office
live
files.
In a world where you are using Office an awful lot, then Documents to Go is almost an essential.
It is. It is. It's one of the first.
If you want to be able to edit those documents.
Right. It's one of the first apps that most business users will download. My next choice is another easy one: Dropbox.
Oh yeah.
If you want to get large files in and out of your iPad. It's the only way to do it. There's just no way to email big things back and forth.
Yeah.
And this just, it's a cloud service that creates, I think of it as like this wormhole folder that connects you not only to the cloud, but to all your other devices. Whatever you put in there just goes everywhere.
And you can try Dropbox out for free. I think they include 5 gigabytes of free storage.
Two, actually.
Is it 2 gigabytes? A couple of gigabytes of free storage, and then you can purchase more storage. And if you recommend friends, I think they give you more free storage as well. But the bottom line is Dropbox is, and to me, it's one of the holes in the whole iPad offering of iOS 5 is the fact it's so awkward and cumbersome to get files onto the iPad. I can remember when I first got my iPad, I was disappointed. I spent half an hour in iTunes thinking there must be a way for me to move a document on, because I wanted to move my first keynote presentation onto it, and I literally had to go online and learn how to do this in order to. This was back in the early days when it had just been released, but still, I always thought that we should be able to manage our files through iTunes as opposed to requiring a cloud service. I know why Apple did it to a certain extent, but I don't agree with it.
Right. And you and I have the Apple mindset of Apple wouldn't make it this hard. It can't be this way. I must be going down the wrong way.
That's what they did. And that to me is the biggest limitation of the iPad as a notebook replacement, if I'm going to do it, is getting files in and out other than as attachments or using Dropbox.
And Dropbox is the easiest solution for me.
Yes.
Give it a try.
As opposed to just accessing that memory space, which is the way it should be.
Right.
Okay. So that's a good advice. Dropbox. What's next?
Log Me In.
Yes, I've got that.
Log Me In is a trippy thing to explain on the radio, but
Okay. Basically
you're going to get a Log Me In account, and you're going to install it on your desktop PC or Mac, on your iPhone or iPad, and you will go on your iPad, you will log in to Log Me In, you will tell it you want to control your Mac, and suddenly your Mac's desktop screen will appear on your iPad.
Yeah, it's actually, and on the iPad, it's called Log Me In Ignition, is the actual app that you install.
Right, that's the big expensive one.
There's one that I have. Oh, is there a free version?
There is a free version. Oh. It's somewhat limited, but give it a try before you spend the big
one.
Bucks.
I bought the real one. What it does is allows you basically machine control of your computer at a distance. So you're in a hotel room and you want to log on to your computer, and this is a way that you can go in and you can open files, you can check email, you can maintain your computer, you can shut it down if you want to, you can do all sorts of, you can open your email client on your computer and send a file from your computer to yourself. It's pretty, but it's slow. It's not fast.
It's slow, but what I've used it for is, well, we said that Dropbox allows you to share files back and forth, but how do you get that file if it's not in your Dropbox folder on your desktop computer?
Yeah, when you're on the road.
You're on the road.
Exactly.
This will allow you to do that. You can drop it right in that folder and it'll sync.
So is that the last tool?
That's the last one.
Okay, so convert, if you are bound and determined to try and use your iPad as a desktop replacement, our recommended list of items are A, a Bluetooth keyboard, B, all of the iApps that are appropriate for you, C, Dropbox, D,
log me in,
and the last one is opening the Windows apps.
That was Documents to Go.
Documents to Go, and that will give you basically for like maybe $200 total investment. That will turn your iPad pretty much into a notebook
magically
computer.
Convert it.
Thank you very much. Rick Yeager is with
AppMan.tv.
That's the name. I'm Steve Dotto, and you're tuned in to Dotto Tech.
Mac Tech is brought to you by MacStation, your environmentally friendly solution. Trade up to the newest technology. Save taxes on the new machine. Give a second life to your old Mac. MacStation, who said business and pleasure don't mix? Do you have a comment or question for Dotto Tech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dotto Tech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Joining me in studio now, Paul DeMera from Rogers. Paul, what about that Hire the World? What do you think?
Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. It's going to take me days to digest it all.
Yeah. No, it opens your eyes when you start to realize what globalization really means.
Exactly.
What living in a global world and a global economy is. And it's our business world as we know it is about to be revolutionized.
It's fundamentally changing.
Well, it has changed.
We just
haven't caught up with it. They've caught up with it.
They have.
We haven't caught up with it. Paul, I'm reading some bump coming from the folks at Rogers One Number, and I'm wondering, do I want it?
I think you do. It's a new way to communicate with your existing cell number. So we realize a lot of people are using laptops on their laps, and you know, that's what you do, right? You're at home and you have your laptop. You might have your cell phone near you, but you want to make a phone call. You have to go grab your phone. Well, with the Rogers One Number, you can download software for your Mac or PC, install it, set it up, and it works with your cellular number. So when someone calls you on your cell phone, your computer actually rings.
Okay. So is it ringing at the same time as my cell phone?
Exactly.
So it's a unified number as opposed to call forwarding technology.
Exactly. That's why we call it One Number. They're both going off at the same time.
Whoa. So I'm sitting there and I've got my cell phone charging beside me as it's always charging. You phone me and it rings in a VoIP client. Is it a VoIP client on my notebook?
It's a software client that you download that you install on your notebook.
Okay.
So effectively, like a VoIP client, because it's communicating with our network, though, right?
Okay.
Because it's attached to your cellular number.
Does it count on my minutes?
No. Even better, right?
I like that. Okay, so the phone call comes in. Can you transfer a call from your cell phone to that number?
Absolutely. So you can punch in a code from either the cell phone to move it to your computer or the computer to move it to your cell phone.
And how much does this cost?
It's no charge.
Seriously?
Seriously.
This is cool. So the unified number has been a goal of the telecommunications industry for the last 8-9 years, and nobody's really figured it out. Have you figured it out?
I think so, because what we've realized is that most people want one number, which is typically their cell phone number, to be their contact number. Like, that's my number. Everybody calls me on my cell phone number. To be able to have a VoIP client equivalent to that with my cell number attached to it, that I don't have to pay for on my laptop, I don't know how good it could get than that. It's just, it's so good, it's crazy. It just makes so much sense.
Wait, back up the bus, DeMera. is this going to be forever free? Or have you guys made any statements?
That's the plan. We really believe that this is a value add for our clients, and that's the mindset. We want to make this available to our clients
We'll see if you still feel that way when people start reducing their number of minutes that they're buying in their contract every month. I guess that will
there
be
you
the
go, right?
That'll be the acid test. But for now, this seems like a no-brainer. So what do I have to do? So what's the process? I just go into my Rogers account and download the software, can I just download the software without logging into my account?
Rogers one number site. You go in, you create a site or create an account if you don't have one, and download the software and install it on your Mac or PC. It's friendly to both. Install it, set it up. It's a very simple process. It's step by step, kind of like a wizard, and it shows you once it's connected and you're up and running, and boom.
Is it based on your account number or your phone number? And the reason I'm asking phone is number. Some people have, like in a family plan, you might have four numbers. Do you install your kid's number for their phone? Are you looking at me blank, or have I thrown you under the bus?
No, not at all. Every phone number on Rogers has its own connection. So if you had four people in the house and they all had four Rogers cell phones, all four of those numbers can be on, you know, like a single device potentially, or they can be on separate computers. So you can do it either way. So you can have it so if your daughter logs on and she's on her computer, she gets her phone calls, she logs out, and then you log on to that computer, you get it. Or the both of you could, for instance, each have a computer and log on each of your numbers.
Caller ID work on the computer?
Absolutely.
What about texting?
Well, if you get a text message on your phone, you get it on your laptop as well. So you can send and receive text messages right from your laptop.
But because the text message has been received by the system, that won't be free. That'll be whatever your account is.
If you don't have a text messaging plan, then you're probably going to want to sign up for one if you start using text messaging. That's the
mindset. Unlike the phone call where you can bypass paying if you're making the phone or receiving the call from your computer, with the text messaging, you will be charged every time you receive or send one if you don't have a text messaging
plan.
That's
correct.
Okay. Well, that's still pretty darn good. Now, what about long-distance charges?
Phone calls in Canada. So if you're sitting here in Vancouver and you call somebody in Toronto, there's no charge for long-distance in Canada when you're using your computer.
Yeah. Now, you got to be careful, because if you transfer that call to your phone as you're going to head out, you're going to be started to be charged long-distance.
Exactly. So you pay based on if you're on your computer, you don't pay for the call. But if you move it to your cell phone, then your normal rates apply.
I don't see a downside to this.
There shouldn't be one. I think it's awesome myself. It's absolutely awesome.
Well, forgive me for not being completely trustworthy, but because, you know, there has to be a catch. But I don't, for life of me, I don't see it. Golly, that's...
It's all good.
What do you guys think the uptake's going to be on this?
We expect a lot of people to set up the service because, again, a lot of people are moving to laptop. It gets better, by the way. We're developing a client for the iPad. It's not ready yet, but it will be out shortly. So do the same thing on your iPad as well. Right now, we just have the Mac and the PC client out, but a short period of time from now, we'll have the Mac client, iPad client.
Now, I might be getting ahead of myself with it, but if you make it for the iPad, will it be made for the iOS devices too, the iPhone and the iPod Touch?
Don't know that. I'd have to find that out.
Because that'd be
know.
Interesting, because now you know where I'm going. Because that basically gives you the access, whenever you're within Wi-Fi access, it gives you access to your, you know, you can use your phone as your phone.
Which potentially,
might get confusing, actually, for some people.
Potentially, yeah.
But you know, just on the computer itself, I want to leave the show. Art, I want to leave the show now, go home, and install this. It's we're going to just have to call it a night.
I'm doing it right now.
It's got online.
Are you doing it?
Yeah, I'm a Rogers client.
Yeah, are you going to do it?
I'm halfway through it. I just don't know my postal code because
Well, you have
moved.
To install it in your home computer.
No, you can install it in any computer.
Yeah, you just need to sign in, like it's an email address kind of.
Yeah.
So you're going to be receiving your phone calls there in the studio.
Well, I'm just signing up, and then I've got a laptop, and I'll connect it to my devices.
It's intelligent as well. So if you have it set up at home and you have it set up at work, where you're logged in, that's where you get your phone calls. It won't show up in both computers at the same time. It's the one you're locally on right now that you're logged into.
Oh, wow. Rogers won. Okay.
Isn't this how the movie Terminator started? Is this trouble?
Are they Skynet?
I don't know.
Good stuff. Okay. Well, that alone is worth the price of admission today, Paul. If you don't want to give us another bon mot, you can go if you want. But if you want to keep sharing with us, we can go on to the next story.
Happy to share more. Happy to share more.
Let's talk about what's happening in the LTE world. First of all, Paul has brought in a little gift for us, which we have to give away to some lucky listener. We've got a Sierra Wireless Air Card. It's an LTE modem that we're going to be giving away to somebody. We're going to put this up for about a month. I think, and it's that's awesome. So this plugs into into the USB port, right?
I've got mine in my laptop right here.
Yeah, I see it. So it's about the size of a credit card. It plugs into your USB port of any computer, and it will give you access to the LTE network, which in major cities in Canada now is it's simply the fastest form of internet that there is. Except it's not. You're actually going to even make it faster now. You're telling me.
That's right. Keeps getting better, right?
Okay, so what's
getting better?
So what's happening with the new versions?
So we've opened up a new band, and the new band is 2600 megahertz, and because the radio is wider, it's a wider channel, they get even more bandwidth, and
don't need more. It's just fast enough as is.
You know, the card is capable of 100 megabits per second, so we want to take advantage of that. I was doing a test here a few minutes back, and I got 50 megabits per second on the downlink. Well, with the new band, you should actually approach 100 megabits per second on the downlink side, and 20-30 on the uplink potentially as well. We'll have to see how it goes because I haven't tested it yet. So, but yeah, super 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 fast. So, and for speed demons and people who want more speed, this is the way to go. And it's completely mobile, so you can be anywhere. And
have you done the math? Like, if you have a 10 gigabyte limit, how long would it take you to download your limit at 100 megabits?
You know, I haven't done that.
You should do that, Matt.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Next time you're back on the show,
I'll do the numbers.
I want you to do the numbers, but I bet it's not very long.
You certainly could roll through a lot of data very quickly, for sure.
There we go. Now, let's talk about the new Playbook software coming out soon. Is it too little, too late for our friends at RIM?
You know,
who had, by the way, yesterday, terrible news for RIM, the fact that the U.S. Procurement Office has decided to open up iPhones for federal employees in the United States, which means I think it's 120,000 potential.
That's a game changer for RIM for sure.
Well, that's been the bastion. Right? That's been the place that they've been unassailable is in government.
Right.
And now that federal employees can choose an iPhone or an Android device, but of course, they've basically opened it up. That's a serious blow. Having said that, let's talk about Playbook 2.0 software.
So I've got a Playbook and been using it for a while in the original software. I've seen the new 2.0 software, played a little bit with this in the beta form. And the big plus that it gives you is that it moves you into the capability to run Android apps on the Playbook. So you're going to see a whole lot of applications show up in the store that allows you to download software for your Playbook. I expect that's going to make people stand up and notice the Playbook again, because that's been its biggest challenge in my mind. It came out last year and it really didn't have the support of software behind it.
It didn't have an app community behind
exactly.
It. Exactly. So, but it's not an Android device.
No.
Is it running in an emulation?
I'm not sure how they do it. All I know is that I've seen Android apps running on it and it runs hunky-dory. So
okay.
they must have some sort of capability to sandbox the Android apps and allow them to run on the processor. It doesn't look like it's like the old days when you tried to run Windows on your Mac with an emulator that was super slow. That wasn't fun, actually. It was bad. So this looks as fast as any device that I've ever seen. The BlackBerry tablet is a dual-core processor.
It's fast, yeah.
It cooks as
its form factor is.
And we were talking to you earlier today. It's $149, for instance, the $16 or 16-gig version at Costco. So the price point is really dropped on it. And it actually is a great tablet. It just needs the capability to run apps that people want to run.
And the other big change in Web 2 in the version 2.0 software is that they're changing the whole email philosophy.
It will work with the Bez now and be a managed device. So it'll allow you to basically get your corporate email on it. Before you could do that, but it was BlackBerry Bridge. So it used Bluetooth to talk to your BlackBerry. And you had to have a BlackBerry.
And it had to be powered up.
All that stuff had to happen. Now you'll be able to be standalone.
Hopefully not too little too late for our friends in Waterloo, but the jury will be able, but you'll be upgrading to it and filling me in on it, because I don't have a BlackBerry Playbook. I don't have one.
So, and it's going to be over the air as well. Like when I first bought my Playbook, as soon as I turned it on, it said, oh, there's a software update available. So I just downloaded it right on the spot.
Paul Damaras with Rogers. We will have links to the Rogers One number on our site. I think all of our listeners should be, all of the Rogers listeners, users at least, should be changing to that right away. Thanks for coming in, Paul.
Appreciate it, Steve.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dottotech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
Joining me in studio now is Chris Gibson from London Drugs. He does a lot of the consumer electronics purchasing at London Drugs. I want to talk about headsets. I'm on a headset roll. I've been playing with different Bluetooth headsets. I'm learning. And they're really coming of age.
Absolutely. They're coming a long way. Now that everyone's getting into the smartphone world and smart, I mean, who doesn't have a smartphone these days? It's replacing a lot of your old devices, your old MP3 player you're not carrying around with you because you've got MP3s directly on your smartphone. Bluetooth headsets were great for the car. One of the big new things that we're looking at is a Bluetooth stereo headset. So you can enjoy your music to the same quality that you would with a standard headset, without any wires, with Bluetooth connectivity.
Now, you do have to look. Are they just calling it Bluetooth stereo, or are they using that? I'm looking up the acronym. It's A2D. I'm trying to remember what it is. A2DP. That's it. A2DP is the technology standard that allows us to stream. Let me take a step back. The older Bluetooth headsets that you use for making phone calls, the single boom ones, they would allow you to communicate by phone on your smartphones, but not stream media, listen to music or listen to watch a video and have the audio play through.
Correct.
So you require something called A2DP connectivity within that phone to allow, within that Bluetooth connection, for your media to play, be it your music, your audio book, or the audio from a video you're watching.
Yeah.
So we have to look for that. But do people have to look for that A2DP, or are they just looking for stereo now?
Basically just stereo headset.
That's what it'll say on the packaging?
Absolutely. Or Bluetooth 2.1. I mean, there's actually Bluetooth 3 now, but Bluetooth 2.1 is will support this. And it's more or less... It will. Most smartphones are capable of streaming it.
The smartphones are, but you have to make sure you get the headset that supports
but
it.
But the headset,
as well.
Yeah. But all stereo headsets will be able to. I mean, there's not much point of a stereo headset that won't stream music because you can't block both your ears anyways. It's unsafe to drive with that. So
this is for walking around the house, going for walks, going for jogs, working out. It's for that environment, not for driving your car and for phone-based communication.
Sure, absolutely. Going for a hike and throwing your phone in your backpack. You can control all your music and listen to it just with the wireless headset around your head.
Because it has controls. It has audio controls as well.
Yeah, most do have audio controls. So
what are the manufacturers you're excited about?
The ones we have right now are a company called Navero. They have two models that we have. One is the Tour, and the other one is the Rockaway. Now, the Rockaway are your standard earbuds.
Okay.
So it's basically just the regular, pop them in your ears. There's a cable that goes basically underneath your chin.
Okay.
And hangs down a little bit, and then right underneath your chin is the control talk feature. So if you do get a call while you're listening to music, the call will interrupt, and you can take over your call and actually speak.
And so there's a microphone in these headsets.
There is
as well.
A microphone built in, so you can use it as a standard headset as well.
Okay, so that one, and now that one is, it's so the earbuds plug into your ears as per normal, but they're not attached to the phone. There's just a cable, a cord. Okay, I see the value, but I'm thinking, oh, you still got the cable sitting there under your.
The cable does go under your, so you can get the stereo, the sound in both ears, basically.
Yeah.
The other option is the Tours that they have, and that's basically just an over-the-head headset.
Okay.
That has they fold down so they're portable.
Okay.
But basically unfold them, pop them in your ears, and there's a strap over your head.
So now I'm looking at these ones, and they aren't muff type where they actually block out, but instead they kind of sit just in the entrance to your ear canal.
They sit just in the entrance because they're designed basically for active people. So you want to have basically a pass through so you can hear what's going on in your environment around you as you're walking the dog, listening for
skiing,
traffic,
hearing
other things.
Yell, look out!
Absolutely. Yeah. Watch out for that tree.
And now, what's the price range of these headsets? What are people going to be looking at spending on these?
They range from about $79 to $99.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're about the price of the mid-range wired headsets that people were looking at getting, the kind of the higher end of that. What's the quality of sound that they're going to get?
The sound quality is very good. It's actually exceptional. It depends on the model, and it's one of those things where you have to kind of listen to it to try it out. It varies, but most of them that I've tried and the ones that we sell, the audio quality is exceptional.
Okay, so Bluetooth headsets, stereo headsets are now mainstream. You guys have several models in.
Absolutely.
Are we going to be seeing some other manufacturers getting into the game, at least on your store shelf soon?
Absolutely.
Good stuff. Chris Gibson is the consumer product buyer at London Drugs. I'm Steve Dotto, and you tuned in to Dotto Tech. So, Art. Have you signed up for Hire the World yet? Are you going to hire yourself out as an experienced radio producer or Filipino comedian?
Well, I think the idea of Hire the World is to make sure that you have a number of skills in the skill set. So hopefully someone out there is looking for an underpaid, overworked Filipino comedian who
produces radio.
Produces radio, yeah.
And sells chocolate.
Yeah, absolutely. Because how many could there possibly be in this world?
Well, I know one.
Half dozen, maybe?
Half dozen in East...
Hopefully the other five don't have internet
access.
Half dozen
in East Vancouver alone, my friend.
Guaranteed.
In East Vancouver alone. It has been a great show. My thanks to my guests today, Doug and Terry Beach, and, of course, Paul DeMera. Links to all of the different topics that we talked about will be available on the website, and we will also put up a link to that Rogers One number so people can just click there, go sign up. I'm going to be using mine, and so from now on, when you call me, I could be talking to you on my computer instead of on my phone, sir.
You know what? I don't have a lot of minutes either, so I'll be talking to you on your laptop, on my laptop.
So we will talk to you next week right here on Dottotech.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.